Welcome to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson. And today's guest, she is a trauma warrior, having survived and thrived after learning to cope with her CPTSD symptoms and 25 years of severe panic attacks by utilizing EMDR therapy, personal research, and learned coping skills along with a foundation of faith and positivity. She is currently writing a book, Unicorn Shadows, From Trauma to Triumph, a healing guide about her multiple traumas with the intent to help others reach their own joyous and peaceful existence via her story of hope. Let's welcome to the CWS stage, Miss Terry Welbrock. Welcome, Terry.
Oh my gosh, thank you, Jackie. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm excited just to hear your story. I mean, I'm thinking about all the people out here who have suffered trauma, who are trying to figure out what to do next, and you've done it. So Terry, what happened? How did we get here?
Well, I like to start when I give presentations and when I talk about my story with what I call the ugly facts, just to paint the picture of what it is I went through in my early 22 years of life. And then move into the what I call the happy and hope part of it. So when I was 4 years old, an intoxicated parent attempted to drown me and my one-year-old sister in a bathtub. When I was five, I was sexually molested for the first time by a 16-year-old neighbor alongside my five-year-old best friend. When I was nine, I was sexually molested by a 19-year-old neighbor when my mom sent me to borrow a can of soup. When I was 10, I was repeatedly molested by my choir director. Also, during those first 10 years of life, my dad was physically abusive until he sought counseling and then sat me on his lap and said, "I realize I've been hitting you out of frustration and anger. I'm so sorry. I will not do that anymore." And he did. He stopped hitting us. When I was 14, I was sexually accosted by a religious education director. I worked in the evenings for priests. I grew up Catholic in their rectory. When I was 16, I lost my virginity to date rape. And then later that same year, I was attacked by a gang of youth downtown Cincinnati and sexually accosted. When I was 17, an officer involved in that investigation asked my parents if he could take me to dinner to celebrate the convictions. And my parents said, "Well, he's a police officer, of course." However, he did not take me to dinner. He took me back to his apartment where he attempted to rape me. When I was 21, I was involved in a bank robbery where a gun was held to my head and my coworker was stabbed three times with a hunting knife. They didn't catch them. And 3 months later, they would return to our main office where I had just transferred. Only this time, the assailant who had held the gun to my head would pull the trigger and murder my coworker. Wow. I had run from the back of the bank and came face to face with a second armed assailant who pointed his Luger at me, but the gun misfired and my life was yet again spared. I had to choose to run back towards gunfire of the other assailant who was in a Wild West shootout with police officers in the parking lot. My mom was also a severe alcoholic. We had poverty and money struggles. So those are the highlights of my first 22 years of life. A lot of trauma and resulted in me experiencing severe panic attacks. This negative stored energy, as I called it, was trapped in my body. I didn't know how to process it as a kid, as a young adult, as a teenager. And so it was just stuck and it was trying desperately to get out of me. And these panic attacks were ensuing. And then in 2013, I found my way onto the healing path, as I call it, and EMDR therapy. And that was life altering for me. So I'll pause there for a second.
Yeah. And through all of this, did you feel like God was with you? Were you struggling with your faith at this point?
I never wavered from God. And it's fascinating because people will ask me, "Dear, you radiate joy. You just are always smiling. You seem so happy." But so when they hear my story, it just doesn't jive with them. It doesn't seem real. And I finally started to understand when I studied ACEs adverse childhood experiences. Mm-hmm. And it's actually ACEs science. It's a science that we're starting to understand that the true impact of trauma on our bodies, on our brains, how we store it. And so there's a resilience component of it. And that resilience part of it, I had people in my life, my grandma Kitty, oh my gosh, she never yelled at me. She never hit me. Incredible, incredible faith. I grew up Catholic, so she was always praying the rosary or saying prayers or going to church. And so that part of it, because she was such a positive influence in my life, it just became a part of my being. And I just felt as if God was with me, Jesus was with me, angels were with me. Something was always present, yeah, whispering in my ear, like, and I might just cry and get choked up, like, you've got this, kid. I am here. You're going to be okay. And now where I am now on my healing journey, I can look back and say, I went through all of that. And now I'm able to live this life of joy and tranquility so that I can help others, so that I can reach my hand back into that darkness and say, you've got this, kid, and give that same message out there. So that's why I do what I do.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people forget when they look at their traumas or the bad things that they've gone through, a lot of people look at it with bitterness and like all the negativity. But what people don't understand is these things, even if God is allowing this to happen in your life, he wants you to utilize it to do something greater with it. And that's exactly what you are doing. Matter of fact, you are writing a book. Can you tell us a little bit more about the book and how you hope to help people through that book?
Yes. And I want to tell a very spiritual story about, so the book title, Unicorn Shadows, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, what is Unicorn Shadows? Mm-hmm. So I was in the midst, I've been writing this book for 8 years. It's very difficult to write about trauma and go back into that darkness, right? And try to have a positive message about it. So that it's just a process. And so I was sitting at my desk and just sent up a prayer to the Holy Spirit and said, I really need some inspiration for a title for this book and help guidance with writing it. And instantaneously, I had this vision of a little girl, her down on her knees, her head bowed with her hands over her head in prayer. And God's light was shining down upon her, and a unicorn shadow was cast upon the wall behind her. And so to me, it was within that little girl's prayer of, please, God, make this pain stop, was also the hope of a miracle, of miracles happening. And it's true that happens in, within prayer. And so that's the unicorn shadow. That's where that comes from. This book is, so the way I have the chapter set up is I tell a part of my trauma story. So the incident with my mom in the bathtub. And then a lesson I learned within that trauma. So courage, having a voice, resilience, so I list things that I discovered about myself, my own strength. I mean, I discovered my own strength in those journeys. Yeah. It took a while, but I discovered it. And then I give exercises for the reader to do that I've done along my own healing journey, because I'm that person that's, if it comes across my radar, I'm going to give it a whirl. Let's add it to the coping skills toolbox. Let's add it to the therapy. So, which is how I found my way to EMDR.
Yeah, I love it. And can you tell people a little bit more about EMDR? Because I don't think a lot of people actually know what it is or understand what it is or how it actually helps.
Sure. Absolutely. So my trauma history, I have complex post-traumatic stress disorder. And the complex part of it comes from, I had both, and I'm so drawn blank on words, I just went completely blank. So, chronic trauma, meaning that, like my mom's alcoholism, I never knew which mom was going to walk through the door. Was it going to be the mom that sat down with the guitar and played songs and we would all sing and it was joyous and happy moments? Or was it going to be the mom who screamed for my dad to grab the belt and silence the children because we were being kids, making noise? So that was incredibly chronic because I just didn't know. Was dad going to hit me this day? Was he not? Was he going to tell me stories and love me? So, and then there was the acute trauma, which is the traumas that happened one time, a bank robbery, mm-hmm. right? But still incredibly traumatic on my being, on my soul, on my body, on my brain, my chemistry. So EMDR is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, a very big word, mm-hmm. or a lot of words. And it was discovered by a Dr. Shapiro, who was working with soldiers who had returned from war. And when they were talking about the traumatic incidences of war, she noticed their eyes were going back and forth, similar to how we do in sleep when we have rapid eye movement, REM sleep. Mm-hmm. So one of the stories that I say, when I read her book and she talked about dream states, and I say, okay, so if you've ever dreamt about like a giant tomato chasing you down the street and you wake up the next morning, you're like, why the heck did I dream about a giant tomato chasing yeah. me down? Like, what was that about? But then, and you don't even remember consciously, but if you went back to the day before, or a few days before, you were at a restaurant and you were ordering your meal and you overheard, maybe not like listening in, but you just kind of overheard two women talking about their salad. And the one says, oh yeah, I don't get tomatoes on my salad anymore. I got the worst food poisoning one time from these tomatoes. And so your brain said, ooh, tomatoes bad. Mm. And so you know, that's not like logic brain says tomatoes aren't all bad. You just got to be careful of what you eat, right? Mm-hmm. But that stuck. And so when you went to sleep, your brain said, yeah, tomatoes bad. So you processed it of a giant tomato trying to kill you running down the street, right?
Yeah.
And then it releases and it's gone. And then you don't have to worry about tomatoes anymore. But when trauma happens and you don't have the processing capabilities, it is stuck in your body.
Yeah.
And so then EMDR takes you back. So I would either watch a light bar and go back into traumatic memories and my eyes would go back and forth. I had difficulty because I couldn't focus. So I would close my eyes and hold paddles in my hands and they would vibrate right and left. Zzz, 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 zzz. But my eyes were still doing the back and forth, the back and forth. And when I would go back into these traumatic events, things would come up, body sensations. Like sometimes I'd be like, something's squeezing my left shoulder so hard. And we kept going back to it, going back to it, going back to it. Well, finally came to realize that it was my dad. It was my dad's grip. When he was angry, he would grab me. And so by going back to it as an adult, I was able to release that. I was able to do forgiveness work with my dad. I was able to understand as an adult what he was going through, not to justify his behavior, but to understand his own childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. And by doing that work, and it's not always about forgiveness, but just by doing that work and recognizing it, I was able to release that body memory. I was able to process that trauma. And so that's EMDR in my, now I did it 4 years, 98 sessions, and I'm back in it. I had some health issues come up and I said, I need to do some mental health self-care. And so I started back to EMDR.
Yeah. And let me say this right now for people who are listening, this is not something that you need to try to do on your own. If you are facing trauma, you need to be under a doctor's care so that you are able to process it and they're able to bring you out of it at just the right moment. This is not something you should be trying at home on your own with your family or your friends. This is something that you absolutely need to do under doctor's care because of what it can cause to happen, not only to your mind or what may physically manifest in your body as a result. So if you are, in fact, dealing with some type of trauma and you want to get relief in this way, please seek a counselor. Now, your book is not the only thing or the only way that you plan to help people. You also have a podcast. Is that correct?
I do. And can I add a little exclamation point sure. to what you just said? And please know, I did work with an amazing, amazing therapist. And I left every session sobbing.
Yeah.
The next day my body was drained. Like I was just like, whoa. But I kept going back. And you know why I kept going back? Because every time I knew I was releasing just a little bit more and I felt a little more healed. So please keep going and just continue with it, because I promise you it at least for me, it was life altering.
Yeah, the light is on the other side of the darkness. You got to get through the darkness to get to the light.
Yes. So to your question about what else? So my show, oh my gosh, I love what I'm doing selfishly, because I interview these healers from all across the globe. And I learn so much about my own journey, as well as putting it out there to others who are along a healing journey. Recently found out one of my guests had come on and she has a show, and she said, oh yeah, my show's in the top 3%. And I said, how'd you figure that out? And she said, go to Listen Score. And so I went to Listen Score, and my show's in the top 2.5% globally out of 2.8 million shows, which to me, I think, how do I even do that? I don't have a budget. I don't have, I don't have advertisers. I record out of this sacred writing space in my home. It's not a big time, but I think because this message like yours, people are out there looking for hope, looking for healing, looking for that light in their darkness. And so I kudos to you. I applaud you for putting this beautiful message out there. And the work you do as well.
Thank you. Thank you. I believe everybody has something to give to the world. You just got to figure out what it is, but it's oftentimes associated with your life story. And this, what you're telling today, is a part of your life story. And you have taken this to the next level by helping other people through it. And it is so exciting what it is that you're doing. Tell people what's next for you, and then also tell them how they can connect with you.
Absolutely. So the best way to connect with me is through terriwellbrock.com, and it's T-E-R-I, just one R, W-E-L-L, the letter B, and then R-O-C-K. I always want to do like rock and roll sign. So I have on there, you can find the podcast link. The podcast is everywhere. I put it out on YouTube, but it's iTunes and iHeartRadio and Pandora and Amazon Music, all of, anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
And then I recently launched some coaching and 2 online courses, and you can find that at academy.terriwellbrock.com. So that's my latest and greatest endeavor. But I've just been starting to go on more podcasts, and I do presentations at trauma recovery events and like the Tri-State Trauma Network. A friend of mine is the executive director, and so she's had me on twice, once in person and once during the midst of COVID via Zoom to talk at her trauma recovery conference. And that's a collection of like 250 therapists. So it's wonderful to not only get in front of trauma survivors, but also the therapists and the social workers and those working in the recovery arena, because my story is one of hope to say, yes, what you're doing is helping. Yeah. What you're doing is working.
Yeah. I think people, we as a country, as a world, we need to invest more in mental health. If you want to stop a lot of the crime that's happening, a lot of trauma that's occurring in families, you have to start by addressing the mental health issue. And the Christian and the faith community can be a big part of it. I would not shirk away from it. So many people just say, oh, no, that's, we don't want to mess with that. But you have to, because it affects everything in people's lives. And if people like us can continue putting the stories out there and saying, hey, there is hope with God. This is what God did for me as I was going through the process. And I am an overcomer. And I am an example of what your life can be like if you are willing to go through the darkness and get to the light. Our world will be a much better place. Terri, I just appreciate you having the courage to share your story. And before we stop this recording for today's episode, I just want to know the one thing that you want the audience to absolutely take from this. If they take nothing else from this episode, what is the one thing that they, in fact, need to know?
Oh my gosh. Like three things popped in my head. So I have to grab one.
Well, tell us all three.
Oh, awesome. Well, the one thing is hashtag never give up, because, and it kind of goes with my other hashtag of it's never too late. My mom is 87 years old. At 83, I stood at the end of her hospital bed as she was coming out of another detox from alcohol. And so my whole life, I was the one going in and saving the day and in that codependent relationship. And I stood at the end of her bed and I said, "Mom," me sobbing, my sister sobbing, "you have to deal with your childhood trauma. Like, it's time. You are diving into the vodka, and I cannot do this anymore. I can't do it anymore." And she finally started just crying herself and telling us all the horrors that she had endured as a child. We got her into therapy, two therapists, and she's been living sober for 4 years, and she's happy. And she had one little fall off the wagon at Christmas, but it happens, but she got right back on. And so she's this happy, beautiful, loving, we have the best relationship. I feel so blessed that I've had this time to have this healing journey with my beautiful mother. And so that's the third one that popped in my head, was forgiveness. It's not a requirement. It's not a necessity. I know that's one of those really taboo subjects. Like, it's so personal, and I'm not saying you have to forgive transgressors. I personally did, because it's what set me free. And so if you can do forgiveness work, it's not so much about the other person. It's about yourself and your own soul and your own heart. And it that weight, I'm not kidding, it just lifts from your shoulders. I even did it with the bank robber. When I found out he had died in prison, I literally fell to my knees and said, "God, you know, please let him have found forgiveness." And I truly hope he did, because I don't know his trauma story, and it's not making excuses for him, but I don't know what he went through. And so I try to look at him soul to soul, light to light, instead of human to human, because his human self made very poor choices.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I would say to people who are trying to forgive, it is not excusing the behavior. It is not. Forgiveness is for you. It is a releasing factor for you. And if you find yourself doing negative acts, committing negative acts repeatedly, it probably is associated with some sort of trauma. And it is important that you get the help that you need so that you do not cause generational trauma. And if you find that somebody is doing something to you, it's probably because they've had some type of trauma in their life. And maybe it's time to start praying for them so that you can move forward and so that they can move forward. Again, I thank Terry for being here today. Such an awesome conversation. We'd love to continue with this and our other programming. And to the CWS audience, thank you so much for listening today. You're a beautiful audience, and I appreciate you. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you.